the question that I get asked, whether it's Maricopa, whether it's Antrim County, whether it's burgeoning audits, other places in the country, the question is, okay, great. Then what? What happens next? Let's say that Matthew DiPerno is able to get the audits, is able to demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that there was massive widespread voter fraud in Antrim County, and then he's able to expand it. What is the correction here? What is the remedy? Or is all of this just an exercise to prevent voter fraud from happening in the future? Is there a chance that Donald J. Trump could be the 47th president of the United States here very soon?
Well, fraud, as they say, fraud vitiates everything. It wipes it out. If there is fraud, what happened never happened in terms of the results. So in Antrim County, our first goal is to ensure that Antrim County is not certified or decertified. It should never have been certified in the first place. And I'll tell you why. Because that Antrim County election management system contained on it a program called Microsoft SQL or SQL Database Management System. It is not a certified program on that system. And you can use that system to manipulate the votes. You can use that system to go right into the election management system database and do whatever you want. And what we've seen in Antrim County is that all of the computers in the county are connected on a dedicated network, an intranet, okay? So remember back in, sort of when I was coming up as a lawyer, we had email within the office that wasn't connected to the internet. It was self-contained, an intranet, right? A dedicated email network. They have the same thing in Antrim County, even today. A dedicated network where everyone can communicate, but they tell us it's not connected to the internet, right? All you need anywhere along that point of any connection is someone to breach the network who has a connection to the internet, and they can access everything. And we know that in Antrim County on election night on November 3rd, that somebody left their computer on with an open VPN port.
You know, if you were to ask your standard conservative pundit what the most important election-based audit that's happening in America right now would be, that would be Maricopa County. Everybody's looking at Arizona. But there's actually another audit that is in the beginning stages. We're going to see how it goes. And this is one that somebody yesterday had noted how important it was. I'm going to read this from, let's see, this is from the desk of Donald J. Trump. He said yesterday, the major Michigan election fraud case has just filed a bombshell pleading claiming votes were intentionally switched from President Trump to Joe Biden. The number of votes is massive and determinative. That is President Trump talking about the Michigan case. And that leads us to today's guest. We are very pleased, blessed, and honored to have the attorney who is working that case, Mr. Matthew DiPerno. Matthew, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. This has been of interest to us. I don't know if you were aware, but we were actually the source that who on November 6th had made the first connection between Dominion voting systems and Antrim County. This was right after they had, it was revealed that there was a discrepancy, and we did some digging and found Dominion, and we're like, maybe we should look deeper into this company. You're not just looking into Dominion, though. You're actually looking at ESNS and Hart and everybody. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're looking at everything that happened in the state of Michigan, and we're looking at a company called Election Source, which is a subcontractor for Dominion. They map the ballots, and they program the election in Antrim County.
Now you had the hearing, of course, recently. It was you versus a slew of lawyers, which I thought was funny. The judge seems to be a decent judge, a fair judge. We will see how that plays out. But there have been some ups and downs. The judge, am I correct in saying the judge denied your motion to expand to other counties? Is that correct?
Yeah, he's denied our motion to expand to other counties, saying that it's a fishing expedition or not relevant, particularly to Antrim County. We disagree with that, but that was his decision. And yesterday, He did not let us go into the actual precincts to look at the ballots. We disagree with that, obviously. We think there's clear relevance. There seems to be a pervasive argument in all of these cases that deals with, well, what would be the cost? And the defendants always raise the issue that we're going to somehow tamper with their equipment or decertify their equipment. None of that is true. And we've even agreed to share the cost, or in some cases pay the cost for these townships and counties. They also raise the issue that it's inconvenient for them to have to take their ballots to a central location for counting. So they're, you know, I don't agree that this small inconvenience is should trump anyone's constitutional rights. And that was our argument yesterday, but we didn't prevail on that argument yesterday.
No, not yet. And I think that you can depending on what happens with Antrim County itself, you may be able to expand after the fact. So that would be a potential maneuver. Now we'll get to the technology side, because I think that's where the real bombshells are. But you're actually wanting to look at to do an audit, a recount of the ballots themselves. Now, there's people will say, and your adversaries were saying yesterday that you've already done a recount. There's already been a recount. Why do you need to do another one? What is it that you would be doing with these ballots in a new audit?
Well, the Constitution permits a citizen who voted in Michigan to conduct a statewide audit of statewide elections. An audit is far different from a hand recount. A hand recount is nothing. In this case, all they did, and I will remind everyone that when we filed our lawsuit, one of the reliefs that we prayed for was for an audit of the Antrim County election. And so as a result of that, the Secretary of State scheduled an audit in Antrim County on December 17th. But the day before, she turned it into a hand recount. So she sort of pulled the rug out from under everyone. And we went up to Antrim County, and it was nothing more than a hand recount where they just looked at the presidential election. They refused to look at anything below the presidential election. And we have a lot of significant issues below the presidential election. My client has issues with school board elections, state proposals. Even the Michigan Supreme Court judge race has issues, we believe. So we wanted to look at everything down ballot, and they didn't want us to look at anything. So they did a hand recount December 17th, and those are the elections the results they ultimately certified. But they did show a vast discrepancy, a $7,000 vote flip from November 3rd.
That is a big one, especially as close as the presidential election was. But you have said that this does have a lot of down ballot implications. Have you been talking to perhaps candidates who think they may have won, or interested parties who think that this is their opportunity to correct their elections, not just President Trump's?
Well, it could be. We've talked to people who have interest in some of those races across the state. It could be a Senate race, could be a U.S. representative race, or even local elections. I'll tell you, in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where I'm from, when we went to bed that night at 2 a.m., the Republicans were winning for sheriff, county clerk, across the board. Republicans were winning. Prosecuting attorney, Kalamazoo County hasn't had prosecuting attorneys and sheriffs that were in the Republican Party for years. But at 2 a.m., they were winning, and at 6 a.m., when we woke up, they were losing. And that happened for a significant number of races across the state, as you know. So people do have concerns about what happened between those hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I think now we've been able to show through our case how the machines can actually manipulate votes. And that's so significant because we're the only case in the country that's been allowed a forensic audit of these machines. We have the images. And so people understand this. When you take a forensic image of a computer, it's not just a copy. It is an exact replica, and it's bootable on a laptop in our office. So we can run their system just like they would run it on election day. And we've been able to do that. We've been able to run mock elections on the system. We've been able to study it, understand how the system works. And we've discovered a lot of information that other people haven't seen before or haven't discovered that really gives great insight onto how these machines work. And we put out information over just the last week showing how we can manipulate votes up ballot to down ballot. You've probably seen that video we put out where we showed that we put in 7 votes, 4 for Donald Trump, 2 for Joe Biden, 1 for Jorgensen, and we're able to flip it at the tabulator. That's a significant experiment, flipping the votes at the tabulator. Because for people who don't quite understand elections or how they work, when you close out an election, that tape prints out from the tabulator. That tape tells us what the results are in the election. Your Canvas board looks at that tape and compares it to the poll book. And if the numbers are right on the tape, meaning the number of people who voted, if that matches the number of people who voted in the poll book, they'll certify the election without looking anywhere else. And so that's why the tape is so significant. And if you can flip votes at the tape, no one's ever going to know that there's a problem in the election. Those votes are then transferred to the election management system sitting in the county building. And those votes are then transferred to the Secretary of State for final tabulation with the other counties. So we flipped it vote both at the tabulator tape, and then we're consistently able to keep those results flipped into the tabulate or into the EMS. And that was a huge significant find for us. Interestingly, no major network in Michigan, no major news source, no mainstream media source in Michigan has covered that story. Even today, the Detroit News, the Detroit Free Press, MLive, none of these news sources have covered that story, completely ignored it. We had heard from other people that there was some criticism, and that criticism being that what we showed was what could happen, right? A possibility, a test that we did. Even without that criticism, we were still looking into the system, obviously, but we sort of focused on the idea of, okay, let's solve that criticism. Let's see what could actually happen when we run an election in the way that the Secretary of State describes it happened on election night. Because as you know, they've claimed that this was just human error. This was just a software malfunction in the sense of they didn't properly program the election, they said. They had an outdated election software card. So we went back using their configuration, ran the election in their own terms, programmed it the way they told us to program it, and we couldn't reproduce the same elections in Antrim County on November 3rd. Remember, the votes in Antrim County on November 3rd went from Jorgensen to Trump, Trump to Biden, and Biden's votes went into what we call an undervote, all right? So we tried to reproduce that. How do we put Biden's votes in the undervote? We could flip Jorgensen to Trump, no problem. We could flip Biden or Trump to Biden, no problem. But we couldn't get Biden into the undervote. And that's because the way these systems work, we have 15 precincts in Antrim County, and so you have ballots for every precinct or every precinct, right? And in some precincts, you got 3 or 4 different versions of the ballot because they have village millages or village races that aren't across the entire precinct. So we may have up to 30, 35 specific ballots in this county. And so every person on the ballot is numbered from 1 through 5,744. So if you move the votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden, all you're doing is simply moving his vote up one number on that progression of 5,744, sort of like an Excel spreadsheet, right? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when you move Biden's vote to an undervote, it doesn't work because there's no number associated with that. You'd have to move it up into the next race. And when you try to do that, you create a critical error. It doesn't work. The machine shuts down. So when we tried to prove their theory that the votes went just simply from Jorgensen to Trump, Trump to Biden, and Biden to an undervote, we couldn't do it. The machine shut down, critical error. So we had to investigate how did the vote continue? How did the election continue if you had a critical error? And we discovered that there's actually behind the scenes a subversion, a code written in to ignore the critical error, allow the election to continue, and allow Biden's votes to essentially disappear and go to undervote. And do we know what happens when we go to undervote? Do you know?
I do not.
Okay. Undervotes go to adjudication. You've heard a lot about adjudication, right? Adjudication is the process, meaning to judge, where somebody is able to sit in another room, look at the ballots on a computer screen, or manually even, it doesn't have to be electronic, and judge those votes. Look at every one of them and vote them for the person who voted. This can be done one ballot at a time, or we've seen mass adjudication where you can vote 100 or 1,000 ballots at a time. So when you think about that concept, Donald Trump's votes go to Joe Biden. Joe Biden's votes go to the undervote for adjudication. He gets those back. So he's getting his votes and Donald Trump's votes. That's what happened in Antrim County. Plain and simple, that's it. So in our discovery, we said, well, again, how do we get those votes into the undervote? Because of the critical error. You can't do it unless you subvert the election, cancel out behind the scenes the critical error and allow the election to continue in a format that's actually not permitted by the coding. So there's additional coding in the background that that deals with the critical error. That means that people have thought about this. That means people were aware of the problem because they actually coded to stop the critical error. That means we have actual fraud and subversion of the election. That's our conclusion.
We are proud to support a patriotic company that you might have heard of called MyPillow.com and its founder, Mike Lindell. You can support them too by shopping online and using promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout for up to 66% off. Or call 1-800-862-0382. So head on over to MyPillow.com now or after the show. And again, use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout to receive your discount.
We're on with Matthew DiPerno. In essence, what you're saying, if we're using a different legal term, this was premeditated. They knew exactly what they were doing and how they were going to do it. Otherwise, there was no way they can get around that critical error. And you can find, I would strongly recommend people go to his website, find the, you can just go to DuckDuckGo and do a search for Matthew DiPerno. You'll find his website. You'll find ours. We also have the PDFs that have, including the screenshots, which I thought were hilarious, because not only did it show the big critical error right there on the screen, it looked like it was written in like Windows 95. It was just antiquated technology, but you know, that's what we're using for our voting system. I do have one more question for you, but before we get to that, I need to know, how do we help? Do you need money? Can we donate to get this going, more auditors? Do we need to call senators or congressmen or judges, or what do we need to do?
Well, certainly people can go to my website, and there's several links on the website for people to donate. We need money and we need funding to keep these investigations and operations going. But also important is the idea to contact state senators. In Michigan, you wouldn't think it, but it is true. Our biggest critics are the Republican senators in the state of Michigan, the Republican House of Representatives. That's our biggest critics right now. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason because in 2017, it was the Republicans that appropriated the money to purchase these machines. Millions of dollars of taxpayers' money went to Dominion voting system. They also passed a law that stated that for all elections in this state, the state must use one of three machines, Dominion, Hart, or ES&S. No way around it. They passed a law on this, I think, without ever actually understanding or what these machines do or how they operate, and never understanding that these three machines essentially come from the same place. They're birthed from the old Diebold system. They're essentially the same machine under the hood, dressed up a little on the outside. Now, they'll deny that if you say that. Those three companies will deny it, but it's essentially true that they are the same company. The machines, as we found, operate the same way. We can run the same experiments on them and get the similar results. So they are the same machine in our opinion. But it was 2017 that the Republicans appropriated the money to purchase these machines. And rather than stand up and have the courage today to say that perhaps they made a mistake, they are consistently stating that all the information we put out is not reliable. That's their argument. And it's because they don't want to be exposed as the people who brought the machines into the state in the first place.
Self-protection is a very powerful motivation for people to go against even their own party, and in this case, their own nation, in my opinion. My final question for you, sir, and I'm going to ask you to speculate here, if you will. And this is important because I think that, I get this asked this probably at least 5 to 10 times a day, whether on Twitter or somehow I'm supposed to be this constitutional expert who never went to law school. But the question that I get asked, whether it's Maricopa, whether it's Antrim County, whether it's burgeoning audits, other places in the country, the question is, okay, great. Then what? What happens next? Let's say that Matthew DiPerno is able to get the audits, is able to demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that there was massive widespread voter fraud in Antrim County, and then he's able to expand it. What is the correction here? What is the remedy? Or is all of this just an exercise to prevent voter fraud from happening in the future? Is there a chance that Donald J. Trump could be the 47th president of the United States here very soon?
Well, fraud, as they say, fraud vitiates everything. It wipes it out. If there is fraud, what happened never happened in terms of the results. So in Antrim County, our first goal is to ensure that Antrim County is not certified or decertified. It should never have been certified in the first place. And I'll tell you why. Because that Antrim County election management system contained on it a program called Microsoft SQL or SQL database management system. It is not a certified program on that system. And you can use that system to manipulate the votes. You can use that system to go right into the election management system database and do whatever you want. And what we've seen in Antrim County is that all of the computers in the county are connected on a dedicated network, an intranet. Okay. So remember back in, sort of when I was coming up as a lawyer, we had email within the office that wasn't connected to the internet. It was self-contained, an intranet, right? A dedicated email network. They have the same thing in Antrim County, even today. A dedicated network where everyone can communicate, but they tell us it's not connected to the internet, right? All you need anywhere along that point of any connection is someone to breach the network who has a connection to the internet, and they can access everything. And we know that in Antrim County on election night on November 3rd, that somebody left their computer on with an open VPN port. Okay, this has been told to us, and we've given this information to the Antrim County prosecutor. We don't know where they are with that investigation, but that's the information we've given them. So we know they could have, someone could have breached that network. We've asked the Antrim County officials to turn over to us all their IP addresses and MAC addresses for that relevant time period to see who may have connected to their network. And they've refused. They don't want to give us that information. They fought us every step of the way. But it gets worse than that, because other counties have the same type of dedicated network. And we've also found that some counties talk to each other. So they have a dedicated network across the state. And all you need is someone to breach that network at one point across the state, and they can affect elections throughout the entire state. So the experiments that we have shown people that show that you could, we can affect the election at the county level, at the tabulator level, there's no reason to believe that if someone breached that network somewhere, anywhere, they could access the same database management software that we accessed. Again, that's available on the system. We didn't put it there. We didn't do anything other than use the tools they gave us on the system to affect the elections in our experiment. So anyone along that, along the dedicated network who breaches the network, has an internet connection, can do exactly what we could do. They could do it prior to the election, during the election, or after the election. And they can affect races across the state of Michigan. So because you have that tool, that database management system on the Antrim County system, you've decertified the entire computer program itself. That combined with the fact that the results were so wrong, combined with the fact that we've now shown people how the fraud actually occurs, we've shown how the subversion actually worked in Antrim County, we believe that we have the facts to decertify Antrim County. That's why the state and the county are arguing about standing right now, you know, saying that no person has the right to bring this lawsuit. They don't want to argue about facts. They want to argue about standing. They want to throw the lawsuit out now. Facts are the last thing they want to talk to, as you saw yesterday in the hearing. No one on their side wanted to talk about facts, right, at all. So if we can decertify Antrim County and show people what actually happened there, we think there should be enough people in Michigan, enough voices who stand up and call for audits across the state. Maybe if they call their state senators, in particular, three in particular, Senator Shirky, he's the majority leader for the Republicans in the Senate, Senator McBroom, and Senator Bison. Those three are our biggest opponents, but they're the people who have been in charge of this election fraud issue. They're the people who come out and say, we've seen no evidence of this, but people got to get a hold of them, you know, to help give them the courage to boost them up. And if we do that, they could call for an audit of Wayne County, Michigan, just like they're doing in Maricopa County. They could do that. But also, if we decertify Antrim County, we could decertify the entire election in the state of Michigan. You can't have a state certified without all the counties certified. If you have some counties that are not certified, you have a big problem, a constitutional problem in the state. You have an electoral college problem, right? That's our assessment of it. That's the way we look at it. And that's why in Wayne County, where Detroit, Michigan sits, where you saw the big spikes on election night, 72% of their precincts are not auditable, meaning that their poll books do not match the number of voters on those tapes. And they still certified the election in Wayne County. Should never have happened. But if we can decertify Antrim County, we can decertify the state, which means those electoral votes should not go to Joe Biden. But by showing fraud, again, fraud cancels out everything. It's a basic principle from as far back as I can remember, court cases, U.S. Supreme Court cases going back to the 1850s that say fraud cancels everything. If this was a fraudulent election, then Joe Biden was not the rightfully elected. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom principle. Do I think that's going to happen is the next question. You know, it's not going to happen just because of me. Matt DiPerno is not going to do that, right? I can show everyone what the fraud is. I can show everyone that we have actual forensic images, that we've run tests, that we can replicate the election and reproduce the fraud. That doesn't mean that our state representatives and state senators are going to care about it, or our U.S. senators are going to care about it, or our U.S. reps are going to care about it. They may continue to do nothing and ignore it like they are right now. But I think the more people who watch this and understand exactly what we've shown them and what the system can do, you know, the more people that can call these senators up and put some pressure on them to do their job, then we're in a better spot for the entire nation to see what the fraud is. And I think that's why the Michigan news agencies are refusing to cover this story. How do you not cover a story that shows that we've actually reproduced the fraud in this case, that we actually show you what the machines can do? How do you not show that video everywhere on your news agency site? And just let the people decide. I mean, what we have right now is the news agencies apparently deciding that they don't think it's newsworthy. I think that's because they just don't want people to really see what's out.
They do not. And you know, we have said that for a long time. This is a, you know, if you want to get into conspiracy theories, fine. Here's the real conspiracy theories: that mainstream media is complicit. You know, they do pick winners and losers in many cases, even localized. And in this case, I think that they want to stick their head in the sand. Oh, look, there's an 8-year-old without a mask. Quick, get all the cameras on that person. That's their standard operating procedure right now.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they're then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our founder's blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's NOQ, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
I know I said that was the last question, but I have one more. This is an off-the-wall question, could be nothing, but I'm just out of curiosity. If you are able to demonstrate what you're attempting to demonstrate through these audits, is a writ of quo warranto, is that potentially in play? Could citizens get together and do something like that in Michigan?
They could. There's a lot of options. Even yesterday, the Secretary of State's attorney suggested, hey, this isn't the proper way to do this in this lawsuit. What really should happen, they said, is a writ of mandamus, asking, you know, state officials to do their job, which I found interesting. They raised a couple, arguments that I found quite curious. For one, they said, our client Bill Bailey doesn't have the right to challenge the machines because he had that a period of time. You can file a lawsuit challenging an election for mechanical errors. And my client, Bill Bailey, didn't include that in his original complaint, anything about challenging the computers for mechanical errors. And therefore, his statute of limitation on that is done. Well, first, it's curious to me because we're not challenging mechanical errors. This isn't like the machine malfunctioned mechanically. This is a pre-programmed situation. This is an internal programming. It's not mechanical. This is fraud from the get-go. But even then, who knows about this on November 5th or 6th, or you got to file this within 30 days? You know, people had no idea what was happening during November, and there was a lot of speculation in December, but as an attorney, you can't just go blindly filing lawsuits based on wild theories like that. What we've shown in this case over the last 6 months is what can actually happen. So you see how the state imposes rules on people to bring challenges to elections very quickly. And if you don't, you're out of time. But they also never give you enough information so that you fully know everything about what happened. Even in our case, 6 months later, the Secretary of State still hasn't responded to our second, third, fourth, and fifth discovery requests. They're still hiding information from us. So that's a curious argument that they made. And I think a disingenuous argument at best, right? Also, they said, hey, you know, Bill Bailey shouldn't be filing this type of lawsuit. He should file a writ of mandamus. A writ of mandamus is a lawsuit requiring the court, asking the court to require a government official to do their job correctly. Okay, so you could file a writ of mandamus. Typically, they're filed in prison cases where you ask the prison to release a prisoner. Do your job. You should release this guy. He's been wrongly convicted. We know he's wrongly convicted, and you're not releasing him. That's a typical type of example of a writ of mandamus. In this case, they seem to be suggesting that we file a writ of mandamus requiring the prosecutors or the sheriff's office to investigate or prosecute crimes in this case. In our case, for instance, Cheryl Guy, the county clerk, deleted system files on November 3rd. Or no, but November 4th at 11:03 p.m. We know she did that because she's now admitted to doing it. But no one's brought any criminal charges against her. But who is the person that should investigate and bring criminal charges? It's the Attorney General in the state of Michigan, Dana Nessel, a hardcore progressive Democrat. Who is she also? She's also the person who is the counsel for the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, in our case. The same people arguing or promoting the what I would call the wild conspiracy theory that this was the safest election in the history of the country. That's the conspiracy theory. That's the big lie, that this was the safest election. It wasn't. We've proven it's not. So we're supposed to file a writ of mandamus with the Attorney General, asking her to investigate the crimes that have occurred in this case. And that would include the crimes of the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, in being complicit in promoting this big lie. We're supposed to file a writ of mandamus asking her to do her job to investigate her own client, where she's already promoting the defense that nothing went wrong. Doesn't make any sense, but these are the things they come with in these hearings. Instead of wanting to talk about facts, this is the crazy stuff they talk about.
And that does seem to be the modus operandi. Forget the facts. Forget the facts in the case. Don't look at the evidence. Don't look at the over 1,000 affidavits. Don't watch the videos. Don't let us argue the case. Find the technicality. Find some way to spin it in the media. Find some way to get a judge to just dismiss it outright based upon technicalities.
And it's, you got to understand, it's not really even a technicality. There's There's a large body of case law out there across the country. Doesn't mean it's good case law. I mean, just because you have judges who make decisions doesn't mean they're the right decisions. Judges make a lot of bad decisions, and a lot of those bad decisions are upheld over time for political reasons. We've seen that throughout the history of the country. You can see that going all the way back to the Supreme Court and decisions regarding slavery that were upheld for many years until they were overturned. There's a lot of bad decisions out there that stand up over time until at some point we decide they're no longer good. And we have a lot of those decisions in this area of the law. The idea that a citizen does not have standing to challenge an election unless he was a candidate, right? And only then you can only bring the challenge within a certain period of time after the election, usually 30 days. Or in some cases, you have to have lost by a 0.5% in order to bring a challenge. So there's a lot of limitations for people, but a large body of law that says Bill Bailey, just a citizen who lives in Antrim County, can't bring a challenge to an election. There's no remedy. Even if we discover massive amounts of fraud in the election, that the machines were subverted in order to perpetrate a fraud for down ballot races also. Bill Bailey has certainly an interest, a constitutional interest in electing, in making sure that the school board is properly elected, right? That directly affects him and his family. How do you say that he doesn't have standing to challenge a school board election where it directly affects his community? Of course he does. But there's case law that says he doesn't because he wasn't involved in the election. But that all changed in Michigan in 2018 when our legislature proposed or put on the ballot a constitutional amendment called Proposal 3. And this is quite ironic. It's ironic because Proposal 3 in Michigan was the proposal that allowed all of this nonsense to happen, mail-in ballots, drop boxes. All of this was part of Proposal 3 in Michigan. But there was another part of Proposal 3 that said that any citizen in the state has the constitutional right to audit a statewide election. It's as simple as that. It couldn't be more clear. And the people voted on that. They said, yes, this is something we want because we're tired of all the case law in the past that says these people don't have standing. We want to make sure that every citizen has a right to audit a statewide election. That's our constitutional amendment. So it's ironic in this situation, this election, that so much fraud occurred through drop boxes, through mail-in ballots, right? We know that happened. These things we call, at least on my team, we call things like this, the little cons. There's a lot of little cons that happened in this election. Drop boxes are one. Dead people voting are another. Ballot harvesting is another. There's a lot of little cons. But that helped commit the fraud on a grand scale, the big fraud or the big con, as we call it. So now we're saying, but hey, look at this other part of Proposal 3. You've been happy to argue about Proposal 3 and help you commit fraud. But what about the part of Proposal 3 that says every citizen has the right to audit? And the Secretary of State says, no. You know, we don't want you to use that against us. We want to limit that language now and say that even Bill Bailey doesn't have the right under that provision to challenge an election. Because that provision says statewide elections is what they argue. Well, we have a lot of statewide elections in Antrim County that he could challenge and audit. And they don't want us to. The bottom line, anywhere in the country where you want to look at ballots, they don't want to let you. You want to look at signatures on absentee ballots? They don't want to let you do that either. There's so much thing. You want to look at poll books to say, hey, who actually showed up compared to the people who showed up to vote compared to the Secretary of State roles as to the people who voted? Because I tell you, we find significant discrepancies there. When you look at the Secretary of State logs, like who they say voted compared to who actually voted, there's a lot of people who appear to vote in this election who didn't show up or didn't log into the poll station. So there's problems. There's problems with all across the election. In Antrim County this week, we found when we did a deep dive into the actual precincts, we found about 1,060 phantom ballots in this election, meaning The number of votes recorded by the Secretary of State on their official webpage doesn't match the number of votes counted in the hand recount on December 17th. They counted 1,060 more in that hand recount. Where did they come from? I think we have the right to know. We also found that people aged 65 to 80 were showing up at just about 100% in this election. That's never happened before. It's a huge anomaly. We should get to investigate that. And we also found out that 20% of the mail-in ballots were sent to P.O. boxes. That's illegal. You can't do that in this state. We should be able to investigate that. But in every case where you bring up these facts, they don't want to argue facts. They want to go back to the idea of, do you have standing to bring this election or to bring this lawsuit? It's not a technicality. It's a outright assault, I believe, on your constitutional right to audit.
That it is. Matthew DiPerno, it has been an honor and a pleasure having you on. We do want to get updates from you if we can in the future as things progress. This is of utmost importance. When you have President Trump even talking about it on his coveted desk, you know that this is a big deal, and we need to get as many people to be aware of that, because we know the mainstream media is not going to help us get the word out. They're not going to cover it at all, which is why I'm glad that you went on Bannon. You went on with Jim Hoft and his crew. You're on with us. We are the way to get this information out there, and it so desperately needs to get out there right now. So thank you so much for being on with us today, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
Oh, one more quick question. We never mentioned, what is your website? How do people find you other than going to DuckDuckGo and searching for Matthew DiPerno?
Yeah, DiPerno Law, DiPernoLaw.com is my website. You can find us there. All the documents are up there, or follow me on Twitter at MDPerno.
Very good. And people can also donate to help get these audits to fruition. Sir, thank you so much. God bless you in the United States of America.
I appreciate you. Thank you.